This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Star Wars, Science Strikes Back. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. People often think of Star Wars as science fiction, but it really isn't. We called Bill Nye, the science guy, to talk about that, and he thought we were confused.
Now, when you say Star Wars, I think you mean Star Trek. And by that, I mean, Star Trek has an optimistic view of the future with science. Star Wars is a religious story or Shakespearean tale.
In Star Wars, you're not supposed to question how a spaceship can go faster than the speed of light or how the Force works. It's magic, not science. But sometimes the line between the two can get a little blurry, especially in entertainment. Take early science TV shows where science was often dressed up with magic, all in an effort to win the hearts and minds of young television viewers. Alan Yu has this story.
Back in the 1950s, the U.S. government wanted to do some positive marketing for nuclear energy, so they asked Walt Disney to give it his magical touch. He made a TV special called Our Friend the Atom. Science historian Ingrid Okert explains.
Walt Disney walks on stage.
The atom is our future. It is a subject everyone wants to understand.
And he tells the viewer that he's going to tell them a story about how a young fisherman accidentally released a genie out of a bottle.
The genie looks like a mushroom cloud, you know, like after a nuclear explosion. And then a scientist, Heinz Haber, explains that this genie could kill us all, but it could also help us.
As we developed our story of the atom, we made an amazing discovery. We had a science story. But suddenly we realized that it was almost like a fairy tale.
Ingrid says Our Friend the Atom then takes us on a magical journey of scientific progress. And it definitely looks like a Disney production, with animation as good as what you can see in Sleeping Beauty or Peter Pan. And that fairy tale about science worked. Teachers showed it in classrooms for decades. Now, at about the same time, there was a very different kind of science show, one that was more like a cooking show.
Watch Mr. Wizard. That's what all the kids in the neighborhood call him because he shows them the magic and mystery of science in everyday living.
Don Herbert, an actor from Chicago, was the star and creator of Watch Mr. Wizard, a show where he guides children through fun experiments like how you can hold a banknote over a flame without burning it, and how you can glue two pieces of wood together so that they can hold more than 80 pounds of pressure.
That's the strongest
Amazing, isn't it?
Glue.
Let's just let it sit here like that. If we hear a terrible crash while we're investigating, we'll know what it is.
Tom Nicosi, president of Mr. Wizard Studios and Don Herbert's son-in-law, says there was still magic, but it was completely different from what Disney did.
Magic traditionally is a sleight of hand to where the audience is amazed at the result of a magic trick. Mr. Wizard's magic was that he brought you behind the scene and showed you how the trick worked.
But the early science TV shows of the 50s and 60s, like Mr. Wizard and Our Friend the Atom and others, didn't really work if you ask historian Marcel LaFollette.
What it failed to do was to do any effective education on how we judge what is or is not science, how we judge and how we assess the reliability of science. Should we trust science and why?
Marcel wrote two books about science on the radio and TV, and she says scientists back then could have used the new medium of television to give people a free science education that was exciting and entertaining, but instead a lot of them turned up their noses.
We see lots of evidence, especially in the 50s, 1950s and 60s, where the scientific community really pulls back from engagement, dismisses television as unimportant or too flashy and glittery. They say television, oh, that's where the comedians are, that's where the entertainers are. That's not for serious discussion like science.
Not all scientists shied away from public engagement.
The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be.
Astronomer Carl Sagan became famous for his 1980 TV show Cosmos. It made him a household name, and he even went on shows like Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. Other scientists didn't like that. But Carl Sagan knew that if scientists didn't offer compelling answers to people, then they would find them elsewhere, like pseudoscience. Here's historian Ingrid Okert again.
He says, look, pseudoscience is absolutely appealing. It fills this emotional need that people have.
Because pseudoscience is magic, dressed up as science, without having to obey any of the rules and procedures that science has to.
And scientists, science communicators especially, need to recognize that, because if we don't recognize that, then people are going to continue watching these bad shows. They're going to continue to say that they believe in UFOs. And you know what? It's our fault for not creating an appealing narrative.
In the 1990s, a new science show hit the scene.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
The pitch for the Science Guy show was Mr. Wizard meets Pee-wee Herman.
Bill Nye had rules for his show. The science had to be real. No fictional machines that do magic tricks. He's a big believer in educating people about science to help them make better choices. And that's why he layers it in theatrics to make sure they pay attention and understand. And it worked, says Derek Pitts. He's a chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute, a science education museum in Philadelphia. He says the success of science TV personalities like Bill Nye and Mr. Wizard gave science teachers around the country permission to make science fun.
One of the things I found that works extraordinarily well in teaching science is something that we commonly see today in almost every science demonstration of every kind, and that is blow it up or set it on fire.
Derek is an astronomer and he can't make planets blow up, but he can show people something cool and shiny.
I can begin any discussion about any topic in astronomy, I don't care how esoteric it is, if I begin with one of three or four things. One of them being, hey, let's take a look at the moon through a telescope. Isn't that exciting? No one's going to turn that down. I also find that no one's going to turn down an opportunity to talk about either aliens or black holes.
And the best part about all these things? They're real.
When you start to look at the universe in all of its complexity, in almost every facet, sure, a lot of it looks like magic. But guess what? It's far more fascinating to find out that it's not magic.
And that, he says, is just as much fun as watching Star Wars movies, which he loves, by the way. You can explain black holes, but don't even try to explain how the Force works. For The Pulse, I'm Alan Yu.